something like that, and sort of, you know, coming up with like a visualization, you know, interactive or somehow organize it in some way. But I think we're both pretty open to suggestion as far as
having. Yes.
I wouldn't recommend it for years.
How many times of things I can do it?
A week, week two.
Yes.
Hello.
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 Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you hear it?
Yes.
Okay. Can you introduce? So we have a few more folks here. I'll let me see. All right, introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Marquise, and I'm an REU student with EPU here for the summer.
Okay.
Oh, I'm Christian. I'm also like an REU student. With Eugene. I'm from North Carolina.
All right.
And I'm from the University of Alabama.
Oh, that's great.
So, Chris.
No, Marquise.
Oh, Marquise. Okay. I'm next door. I just popped over to say hi.
She's the project coordinator.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna listen from my desk, but I just wanted to pop in and say hi. Nice to meet you all.
Nice to meet you.
So, I wasn't expecting the REU students to be coming up here kind of things, but for the project that I was thinking about, there are several of those. So there is one Amigo database that Justin Elser is trying to put together, and there are data visualization aspects of how to see the ontology graph that we look at it, right, and have some more dynamic ways of looking around the stuff and visualize how the management of the annotations happen. It's first thing is the visualization of the graph and how we can build some reasoners to use that. I don't know how much you know about ontologies.
Graph theory, I'm decent with ontologies.
You're not.
Yeah.
So, for example, if I say, but you understand the part. Flower and a part of the flower, or our bodies and parts of the body, right? So, for example, bone is a tissue, right? And blood is flows in veins and arteries, and blood is also part of the body, right? So, these are free textual that I just said, but computer cannot figure out. And in classical hierarchy style, people would attach some kind of an edge. If you consider all these concepts, blood, bones, human body, veins, arteries as individual entities or nodes of a graph, then you would start connecting the nodes with some edges, right? But by default, people think that this edge is it's a subtype of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
As you grow in the hierarchy, everything else is a parent-child relationship is subtype, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not true, what I just said. I mean, it was true as long as I said that blood is a tissue and bone is a tissue,
mm-hmm.
right? So both of them are subtypes of tissue.
Mm-hmm.
But if the edge connects bone to arteries and veins, and to human body, then it is a different relationship, which is part of, or contained in, or flows in, that kind of thing. So it was okay to say in a free text, but computer doesn't make sense out of this, and people have different writing styles and things like that. So what we do is we create an ontology, a structured hierarchy, with all these relationships defined, hard-coded. These edges have meaning associated with them, that this is a edge, this is a part of edge, this is a closed in edge, things
mm-hmm.
like that. Those edges are defined, and then you can draw the graph accordingly. And so it's a complex network. Every node may have more than one relationships, but It is a prerequisite that every node must have one incident. That's the must.
Okay.
Additional, you define your biology accordingly. So then, by looking at the graph, you should be able to make a statement. Show me all the parts of parts of a human body that flows inside the arteries. So the answer would be your. You should be able to get an answer saying the blood is based on the relationship types. Parts of flows in and blood. I find or some arteries, and then you answer would be your blood. Right? Because you can build reasons to describe existing biology, or whether it is able to define it, or whether you can tell something new to a user, for example, and then you should find out. So you can start from anywhere on the top of the tree. If you're not aware of what's in the bottom, you can just navigate down at the complexity of a tree would keep on increasing. So that we call it as a root of the tree, and then the leaves of the leaves and branches of it. If you are more familiar, you can start at this level. Other tree as you want. So what happens, let's say if I say I have a gene mutation that leads to some problem in blood development or blood flow, for example. So I use the term blood, attach it to my mutant. Mutant is another object, for example, or a gene is an object, right? And I say this gene is somehow associated to blood, right? So it's an association, we call it as an annotation.
Okay.
Right? And then, since this term is attached to this concept, if you're looking in your graph, this whatever is annotated to a child term is taken over by the head. It moves up in the direction, right?
Okay.
But can be restricted by a relationship type. Right? Not all the objects that are associated with the child should go up into the thing, right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, anything that is in the... If a gene is involved in development of blood or consistency of blood maintenance, that is associated with blood. But since blood is flowing in the artery, that concept cannot move through the artery because it is directly associated to the blood, not to the artery. You can't say consistency of the blood is fine, that is okay. So there, depending on your edge, you can restrict whether the annotation goes up or not. So that is, so these are some generic examples that I do. So we have lots of examples of edges, the plant anatomy section, for example, that we have. Let's say a flower develops from a cell type X, but flower is part of inflorescence, which is a bigger bunch of flowers, right? That means any gene that is involved in flower development is not necessarily more inflorescence because it's a different thing. So this annotation not. But anything that is associated with flower color or wood might go to this thing because whatever is flower color is also kind of inflorescence color. It grow up on that. So it's not just a graph. Graph visualization is one aspect. How the annotations percolate to the parents or to the neighbors, that's another issue. And so all that data is actually stored in the database. All the annotations are stored, all the graph attributes are also stored in the database. That's generating a user interface and visualization thing. So majority of what I would just show you guys is very textual aspect. People would have to go and read 1,000 words on that page. And you want to let a biologist who are generally very, they don't like very textual. They're very, very visual guys.
Mm-hmm.
They want to go navigate. If you show me there is a flower and things like that, people immediately say there is a problem here. Or I find these characteristics, these are making these two things unique. If you write it down, then it gets lost in there. words, word cloud, something. So can we just pop out certain things for him or her so that they can make a sense?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, so I may want to go back to office because I for some reason, I know it's just not the world with the energy, but that's okay. And I don't want to keep, like,
yeah.
So I can be online if that's okay with you guys.
That's fine. That's
okay.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless you want to sit in the other room.
Probably easier in the other way. So this way I can talk with Mike and I can hear
right.
You guys say.
Absolutely.
I don't want to disturb you on time.
Right.
Sorry,
so
guys.
What another thing we wanted to do is we wanted to have a meeting with you regularly kind of thing. This time works for you.
This time is fine.
If this time works for you over the period of summer, then we just schedule it every week.
For the summer should be fine. Yeah, Wednesday should be okay.
Is that okay? So that we don't have to get into this trouble of scheduling, so we can keep on talking and work on that.
Every week or every 5 weeks?
I think initially
every
week is fine. If we are not able to meet, then we can just skip that meeting. But at least a bit I'm going to be starting this discussion again and again and again. I think if we are on the same page.
Yeah, I would like to, run an event, maybe one of you, or possibly both of you, maybe one of you, depends on the topic. Because it's more like whether, because, they have their individual projects.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a good idea to put them like a group project, because then you have to present your different project at the organization. So
So
we can talk about that.
Right. So I'll show some things. On the examples that we're trying to build and then see which kind of thing that you're interested in working, because it's a 10-week thing, right?
Okay.
So you want to finish it somewhere, rather take some small project rather than something massive, which just continues to build on top of that. Right?
Yes.
Cool. So would we continue talking on?
Yes.
I want to get back to my office.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'll keep on generically, we'll show you until you show up on that.
Sure.
And so, Lol, can you send an email to Eugene on what's the meeting number so that
I think I have that.
From today?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
And Justin just got disconnected, but he's going to rejoin.
Yeah. So that's he disconnected. He's not coming back.
No, he just got disconnected, but he's going to rejoin.
Okay, yeah. So I'll show you some things that how the website looks like right now, and then and see if we can work out how you want to work on that aspect. But I will also show you something different, which another project.
Okay.
Which is somewhat associated with that, but how you would like that maybe a genuinely of interest as well, and see how much time would it take. You need to figure out, this is the problem, how much time would it take and how far would you be able to accomplish in that period of time. Right? So that's the goal for you. And I don't mind if you continue working on even after you leave. It's your personal time and that kind of time. Things like that.
Yeah.
But if you're there and if you're interested, my goal would be to have a long-term relationship rather than just short-term working and moving on.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
That's another aspect. So, what's the, I'll share my screen, but what's the URL for our dev browser?
The Amigo browser? The Amigo 2 browser?
Yeah.
It's dev.plantium.org.
Dev.plantium.org?
Yes.
Oh, jeez, I didn't type it nicely. Okay. I'm going to share that screen. Where's that? And if I'm...
Should be down at the bottom of your screen.
Somebody's calling me in just a sec. Hello? May I be my meeting? I'll just share my desktop.
Oh,
share screen.
Oh. Oh, there it is. Yep.
Should show up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So this is the Amigo 2.0 version of the software that we're using and the front end that we're using.
Okay.
Instead of, we thought that since there is something already there, then instead of spending time and revising and doing all those things. Why don't we just adopt and then dump that database and on the front end, and then improvise on that for our users. So, for example, if I search for a term like, what is a good term? Leaf?
Leaf is always a good term.
Vascular leaf, right? So it automatically reads the database. Behind that is, sorry, hello? मैं तुम्हारे को एक घंटे के बाद काम करूँगा मैं अभी मीटिंग में so the behind it is solar searches that are working in. So it's no more MySQL database it's solar indexing that is happening so okay. Yeah so what it does is it automatically reads whatever is in the index file and tries to fill it up vascular leaf that was your exact match so here's something happens. Every term in the vocabulary,
yeah.
I told you that it's a control vocabulary.
Yeah.
So that means every term has an ID in the database. Generally, that seems to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, in a normal case, every time you refresh the database, then the new IDs will be generated, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case here.
Yeah.
That may be the case, actually. But every term has a predefined accession ID. It's like your social security number. It never gets deleted from the system. I mean, if you load in your name and your social security number, there would be a database table ID. That can be refreshed, but your social security number is the exact number. That's for you forever.
Okay.
You can keep on changing your name, your definition, your location. That ID never changes. Everything is tagged with that. Whoever wants to query about you can just use your ID, social security number, and query about you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the same mechanism that we have, that there is an exception number that is assigned to a term, which is a node in that graph, and that number never retires. It can become obsolete or non-functional, or not being active use, but it can never be reassigned to another term, another object. So what you see here is an accession name, EO, right?
Yeah.
That's the name of the term, which is also here. This concept or node belongs to a plant anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
So there are several of those. I'll show you those. This concept belongs to anatomy. This belongs to growth and development stage. This concept belongs to traits and characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
These belongs to environment. Things
okay.
like that. These are different kinds of synonyms people would use. Although I think the Japanese one is not showing up here, but if I have it. The Japanese characters show up here, and if there's a Spanish, then it will show up. Spanish. Okay, this is how the people call it. Then every term has a definition. That is, this is the definition part, and this is the cross-references who created that definition. So we're trying to have provenance and very large. And the definitions are very logically defined. It's not may or may not be human readable kind of things, but
mm-hmm.
we're trying to create very large definitions here.
Okay.
And then if there is any comment for a user, then this term is applicable to X number of species or projects.
Mm-hmm.
So we designed some subsets that if somebody can come to the database and say, show me all the subsets or subset of terms that are applicable to rice
mm-hmm.
or corn or to soybean, they should be able to find what are applicable to me. Right? These are some of the other links that can be annotated to other things. All right. Then we... what is that? I am not going to show you the empty space. So this term is... What you saw was an individual properties or metadata of that term, right? But you want to see where this term in the graph. So that's the graph that you would see. So vascular leaf is here, which is a leaf. Mm-hmm. These all the gray ones are is a, and blue is part of.
Okay.
Edge. Okay. This is leaf. Leaf is a phloem. Phloem is a plant organ, and then it goes all the way to the very root of that tree.
Mm-hmm.
And this tree comes via the part of. Right, that phloem is a shoot system. So, but everyone has a different, and these relationships are already defined in the graph. That was. Do we have this external view? Oh, there you go. This is not presented by us, but somebody else. What we develop. The vocabularies
mm-hmm.
in standard format
mm-hmm.
and put it into our SVN repository or GitHub or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then whoever else wants to take that open source project,
mm-hmm.
they just grab the latest version and then they load it in their tools for
mm-hmm.
their analysis. That's what these guys did. So this one is more, I think it's more web graph enabled, something like that. I don't know what tool they're using. I have absolutely no idea. Okay, on that, then you would change the graph, and but you here you would start seeing the relationship types, right?
Mm-hmm.
This dev develops from or something like that, or part of, and is a. So in hierarchy, everything has been down, but you start reading the structure and edges and. Relationship. And the direction is determining which way your collection of annotations to that term can also move out.
Mm-hmm.
That is how the direction, and the purpose of direction, to do the computational reasoning
mm-hmm.
on that side. So, for example, you can say, show me all genes that are involved in vascular leaf primordium. But if you happen to come from this level, in the tree, you should be able to see anything that's here also becomes part of this thing. So, part of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in general, which simple example would be if somebody asks your parent that, do you have a TV in your house?
Mm-hmm.
And they will say, yes, I have two TVs. One, I have it in my living room, and there is another one in my kid's bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that the kid belongs to kid also belongs to parent as well. So it became two. So it was one-on-one direct association, but when the parent levels, there's an indirect association and it's pulled up, he has two, but you only have one. Right? That's how the annotations work up in the hierarchy. Yeah. So this one is showing only the all those metadata that you just saw and the graph that is being presented. That thing, right? Anything else? That is true, and this one doesn't work. And this is the simple hierarchy tree that you can see in your people can navigate. These icons are showing the one kind of relationship that this term has into its. From that, you can imagine this tree versus the one which you just saw.
Yeah.
How would that be, kind of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then just a printer of summary of what are the direct ancestors and children of this. I'm looking at that term, but there might be children of that term as well.
So it's like the edges from the graph.
Yes, so if this is the vascular leaf, so these are the parents that you're looking at, these are the children. Right? So if somebody wants to see it in a non-graphical format, a calculated
mm-hmm.
format, that's what we have. Mappings. We haven't done the mapping yet, but we will come to that. Because what's happening here is we are building the reference vocabularies,
mm-hmm.
but there might be a guy working on rice. They will create their own vocabularies. Maize people would create their own vocabularies, and the soybean people would create their own vocabularies.
Mm-hmm.
But they might be using the same concepts, but not necessarily using the same vocabularies. So whatever they use, we map it to reference. Whatever maize uses, we map it to the reference. Whatever rice uses. So there's a common hub. We are the reference.
Mm-hmm.
So it's saying A equals B in rice. is equal, if an A equals C in soybean, that means B and C are somewhat equal because there's a common difference mm-hmm. here. So that's the mapping that okay. we're trying to build as well. So that's another way of looking at those kind of things. But that mapping is not. Do we have annotations in this database or not? Lol. Let me see source. Nothing to filter. Assignment.
Sorry, my mic was muted.
There are no associations in this database, right?
Yes, there are.
They are?
Or, no, maybe not. You're on the dev.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they're not.
Nothing. What is this one?
I can double check.
So that what you were seeing was a 2.0 version.
Mm-hmm.
1.8 version, which is on already on the live side. I'll mm-hmm. show you how the annotations are working for that. Right? Here, nothing is being, this is a completely different database, right? So I'm just looking at it. So it's the same thing, a little bit different, somewhat similar, but external references. So you see the numbers just next to it?
Uh-huh.
This 51748. Mm-hmm. That many number of times this particular term has been tagged with some other object. Right, like an annotation. Television was that example. Was the annotation edge to you and to your body, for example. Same way, there's some X number of genes that were annotated in these things. Now that's a very big number, and that's not going to show up in this database. But we can take a look at something bundle sheet, which is a part of vascular how do I see the annotations? Oh, sorry. You see, I'm struggling already.
Click on where the number is, Pankaj, where it says four gene products.
I say bundle sheet, which was a part of that thing. So you know the graph view.
That doesn't work. Go, if you go back to the inferred tree view.
Yes, exactly. So you saw that this is now bundle sheet is part of vascular, and I don't know what, there is no legend here, but different color of the edge will determine which things that you're looking at, right? I think blue is a, this one is a part of, and then gray is something else, and red is something else, right? So that's how the graph you see. So this was the inferred tree view that you just saw. For that particular term, there are four genes that are annotated to that.
There you go.
So these are the four genes, 1, 2, 3, and then this one, these are directly annotated, okay, to bundle sheet. But this is mesotome sheet, which is a child of bundle sheet.
Uh-huh.
So these on 14 is coming from the child of that, right? So you will see it show both direct as. If I say direct only, then we have only three.
Okay.
Right, all, then anything from the child would also be shown.
Mm-hmm.
So this gene is annotated to this particular term, but there are two other annotations in the same database.
Mm-hmm.
So it will show telling you that there are two more. And this is telling you what is the object type. This ON10 is a gene, and several other things. What was the experimental evidence you used to annotate this to this gene, right? So scientists want to see what is the evidence.
Yeah.
So tell me exactly, why should I believe in it? So that's, those are all, again, metadata of how this thing is annotated. But two of these associations, you can look at it directly. And it'll tell you that it is annotated to bundle sheet and on length. These two genes, right? The same gene, but two different concepts. This is anatomy, and this is a plant trait. It is something to do with on that. And I'll tell you what an on is. That's good. Okay. So that's one way of looking at it. So anything that we saw here in an inferred tree view that these four are part of that 51,000. It will move up on that. So you're seeing two views. One is this very textual, and this other. So people are generally querying, but they're not necessarily doing any computational reasoning. But I would love to see some computational reasoning.
Okay.
But this is, these are the views how you would like to present it. Yeah.
As far as computational reasoning, is that just sort of parsing through, like,
reading the tree and reading the annotations, and if I give you, if somebody comes and asks a question, show me all the genes that are expressed in bundle sheet and root, for example, or expressed in leaf and root, and show me all of those kind of things. So it's like a concatenated database query, but you would also see some more reasonings. Or say, show me only those that are expressed in a leaf but flows to its ancestor only via the develops from relationship.
Okay.
Things like that. Because I'm not interested in anything else. Mm-hmm. So those filters are not in there right now. Mm-hmm. So that's two things that I'm showing you, for example. So four of these gene products that you would actually saw are from, the species is not showing up, but most likely this is rice.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another product on the visualization side that I would say. So that all the plant species, for example, came from some common ancestor.
Mm-hmm.
So they have preserved certain number of genes and then acquired some new ones or lost some of those genes as they evolved and developed. So at some point it was a common ancestor for higher plants, for example, but at some point it says only the grasses are here or only the dicots are here, the flowering plants.
Mm-hmm.
So these are like pea and beans and potato and tomatoes are like done, and the other ones like wheat and rice and corn are not going to be differently. They all have some common set of genes, as they evolve into two different branches, some acquire new genes to move into one direction or in order to move into another direction, they had to either acquire or lose both things happening along with preservation, and same thing happening on this branch too. But then that branch also keeps on fragmenting all the way. It's also a taxonomy graph. So you would see on every branch what is gained or lost. So I'm thinking about, let's say if I know something about on hen in rice, is there a homolog in pea, although pea may not have that structure, but does that gene still exist? And if it exists, what is the function of that gene? Yeah. Can I learn something from it? Or if we know something in rice, and if I know about on hen in rice, does it have a homolog? Or a common ancestor, a derivation of a common ancestor in corn or in millets, then can I understand the function of this? Because there are not many resources available to study each and every gene in corn and millets. So if I know something in rice, can I project that function to corn or in sorghum? And by having some different methods. First, I have to develop a method to identify the homolog gene, and then after you identify the homolog gene, you project.
And then that way you learn indirectly something about the gene from corn.
Yes, indirectly. So you can basically port this, if there is a true homolog, then you can port all these annotations to corn and millets, right? So then if some corn researcher comes and says, I know something about this gene based on the evidences coming from rice. I don't know anything from corn itself, but I have a gene in corn, but projection is coming from rice, and that's, I can make some sense about it, or I should. That allows me to build a hypothesis and go back and test it in the lab. From that. So, too much of science, right?
It's a lot.
That's what we're trying to do. So, Justin, I'm going to show some of the gene trees work that you've done, right? Let's see.
Okay.
The first thing is I need to find where that is, right?
Which gene tree work? The thing that Miles and I did?
No, I'm going to show the new cafe work that you've been doing. Oh, jeez. I have to change the... How do I change it? I'll just put it up here. I hope... I don't know why it's not... New slideshow. Is there an option? So that it shows up on this screen. You don't use the presenter. Why does it show up on that one?
I don't know. It looks fine to us. It looks fine to me anyway.
You're not seeing the...
I can see your...
Yeah, we see it. Slide.
Yeah.
We see it.
Yeah.
You see the slideshow?
Yeah.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You might put it in slideshow format if you want. Make it bigger. But no, it shows up, yeah.
Do you see the animations?
No.
You don't see the animations.
I don't know about that. But I can see your slides.
Oh, wait a second.
Looks cool.
Where is the stop sharing thing? Stop share, and then I will share it again. Share my screen, desktop too. Okay, you guys look at it.
There we go. Okay, yeah.
So, let's say here's a method through which Justin Elser, sitting somewhere, he did the computation analysis to resolve the taxonomy tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then on every, then we know how many number of genes are on each species has it,
mm-hmm.
and how they are clustered together, right? So I'll go that every column over here that you're seeing on this side, every column is one gene family.
Okay.
All the members of that gene family are clustered together. Right? So it was like A equals B and B equals C, then A, B, and C should be grouped together as a family.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's what you would have. So let's say what I'm showing you are 150 odd number of gene families. And each cell would have all the genes that share the same function from that species. Right? So that's this is the better view actually for every species. This one actually, let's say, it does not have any. This one had an expansion of 0.42. I'm showing the statistical number, but Justin Elser would be able to give you the number, every gene ID that is in that particular cell, for example, right? So, but all of it is a gene family, and so you can move basically. For that family, you can basically move in that taxonomy tree, right? What is the common ancestor? What is the number of genes of that common node and this and this and this all the way up here? What is the set of genes that we should put with that, right? Where it came from. But let's start with this common. Right, so what we're trying to do here is basically on a global scale, what we are looking at is see what was gained overall in this species versus that species,
mm-hmm.
and what is gained at every different node. So I did this data by looking at the data that is cluster data and the statistical data that was generated by Justin Elser.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting it in a very fragmented way in my PowerPoint. But that is not more convenient to a user, right? He should be able to come and say, show me everything, all the genes that are clustered, or gene family 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or show me all the genes that are associated with flower development at this node, and show me all the expansion of those gene families in the whole tree, right? Or you go at every node. But we, instead of before going to the node, let's start with the very this set at the very edge of the tree, right? The remotest,
yeah,
farthest from the tree, and then we can go back to it. That's another way. How do you visualize this data on the web? He has all the data, but how do you visualize that?
Mm-hmm.
And I should be able to come and say, I'm saying that this number one has the function glutathione peroxidase. This is a term that's coming from ontology, right?
Uh-huh.
So if all the genes, my gene from species A are annotated to glutathione, species two genes are annotated to glutathione. So the associations that you saw are sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
The vocabulary that you're seeing over here, glutathione, terpene synthase, or these things, they sit in the ontology graph, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
And so we want to see how do we connect the two and see the evolutionary expansion side, and but driven by the ontology graph. You can have two different graphs, right?
Yeah.
One is a taxonomy graph, another one is your three graphs, actually. Taxonomy, gene family cluster, and your ontology graphs coming together. Too complicated.
So that's the, is this the sort of thing that we'd be able to help with?
I guess my only concern is working on something.
How quickly do we need to make up for lack of a better term?
Yes, that's, but all along the way, biologists will help you guide through that. And we will provide, Justin Elser will be able to provide the data from that. Right. So Justin, you worked with Miles before and developed some of the tools, but those tools I believe were never trained for the data that's coming from the CAFE data analysis, right?
Correct. We finished that project before we started doing the CAFE.
So what we, in that project, what we had was you just list a bunch of species in whatever order you have, and you would be able to generate a heat map.
Okay.
And then you have to click on each cell to find which IDs are there. And then Justin Elser can show you some of those genes that do show up. That happens. That tool that he has developed from that. Do you have access to that tool? I think I have.
Yeah. Here. I'll send you the link real quick.
What, do you want to show it something? I'll just stop sharing.
Oh, sure. I can. Yeah.
Stop sharing. Yep.
You guys see it?
Yes, I can see your screen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
So that's a preset set of queries that he would do for the annotated gene products, for example.
Yeah, this was just a random gene set that we just chose just to be able to kind of look at stuff.
Okay.
But you can enter, anyone can enter their own gene IDs as long as, and it'll try and figure it out. Yeah, there's not much in the set for so the ontology
heat map. Go back to the homology one. So what it is saying here is the X number of genes, where every row is a gene cluster that you're seeing over here, row number one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so what you saw in my slide was columns.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is a row. And right? And
yeah,
the representation of that, and then all the other genes. So yeah. And then each row is a cluster. And then you see how those are established in that. And you can flip it that the other way
yeah
down, kind of things, right? And if you click on the one particular cell, I believe,
mm-hmm,
it'll see all the genes in that cell.
Okay.
right? Mm-hmm. And then if you want to, if you're interested in getting a sequences of those things, that's what all those icons are, right? So if you check all, check all here, and you want to see if, wait a second. So if all of these genes are from the same cluster, you expect that all the genes should have the same function, right? Okay. And should be, let's say, should be expressed. If all of them are involved in leaf development, then all of them should be present in the leaf at that point of time. So some properties of commonality should show up. And that commonality you can find out based on how these, if these genes were annotated using the same vocabulary that we were developing,
from the ontology.
Ontologies, then if we should see all of those at the same point of time. So if you click on the ontology, I think so, right?
Yeah, that only does one gene at a time.
Oh, really? Oh, so, yeah, click on that. Check all doesn't work. No.
No, I don't think that check all works for the ontology lookup.
One by one, right?
Mind if I do this? Oh, no, that's the original set. Hold on.
Just click on any one of those.
Yeah, I don't think any of these have any annotations.
Okay. No, anyhow, if there was an annotation... then how did you go there for? Then basically what would happen is all the genes from that gene family should show you how many, let's say these are the ontology terms, and if they were common to that, this is not a heat map, okay? Yeah. This is just showing that each column is represented by a different common color. Right, so what you're saying is that, for example, these are the two genes from Arabidopsis, another species, and if they were in the same cluster, that's how it figured out, then whether you're seeing the same annotations for all of that.
Okay.
So it gives a clear visualization in some ways to tell that if the members of this gene family are common, have the common ancestry, then are they likely to preserve the same function? Or same characteristics or not. And if they are not, then you start looking at, most of it is conserved, but if there is nothing, that means it is either some biology is hidden behind. Even if they have come from common ancestor, then but there is some subtle differences, that one of them is more involved in leaf development, another is more involved in flower development, for example, right?
Yeah.
So it gives them an insight on to look for the biology.
Yeah. So you check to see, you check if the genes were if they were descendant or if they were related evolutionarily.
Yeah.
And if they were, then you check to see if they preserve the same function by connecting that with the ontology.
Right. So based on our gene ancestry and homology analysis, we know that they are related, but are they also related in terms of functional annotation, which is ontology driven? Then we want to see whether that is also preserved, or because sections of the sequences are preserved, but it's possible that they might have lost or gained a part of that sequence, and whether it actually relates with something to the function. Portion of that gene might be lost. That means it might have lost out of, let's say, if it had two functions, first half and second half gave two different functions, but it still preserved the first half and lost the second half. But it will still show up in the common ancestry because the first half is preserved, right? But the function-wise, the second half is lost. So you should see that there's a loss of the second function, whereas the rest of the members still preserve both the functions. So something happened here. So people can go back and check. So we are trying to build some intuitive tools for this. This was done in a very... So it's reading multiple databases. Database of gene homologs, database of ontology annotations, and trying to pull things together. Something here.
Yeah.
So that's another opportunity here. And you saw that these are all just flat. It is not driven by the tree of the individual gene clusters. You can have the genes and draw a gene tree, or you can also actually have a species-driven things.
Okay.
So I can basically, what you were seeing in my PowerPoint presentation is, I can basically look at this cluster and see how these ontologies are represented in that, right? So I should be able to see that statistically. So that's something which, I don't know. So you, whether you, there's an opportunity, Eugene, is that you can pick and choose from the existing tool that we have developed and build on it,
mm-hmm.
or if there's something new that you would love to work on. Yeah. You want to show the interactions one? I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm sure like people make
not this one, probably Rabidopsis one is the one.
Let's try this one. All right. This is kind of the text format of all the different interactions, but then we can
click on any of this. I don't know. Yes. So here's an idea.
Mm-hmm.
If you were in Alabama, you were in Alabama,
mm-hmm.
you were in North Carolina, you were two individual entities sitting somewhere in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow you happen to be here, right? There is a possibility that there was a common thing that made you to interact with each other. What is the likelihood that you are interacting with each other? Mm-hmm. In order to interact with each other, either you have a common hub to come together, or you two be placed together on the same flight or on the same social network or in the same room,
mm-hmm.
to be, then the likelihood of you two interacting would be higher.
Mm-hmm.
So consider you two be this two genes of the same species. If you're likely to interact, then there is a common function, a common association associated with that too,
uh-huh.
right?
Yeah.
So that is what it is showing you. You pick one gene and show me the neighborhood of that gene, like a social network, and how many of those. So I can basically take all of those genes and see, are these genes commonly associated either in terms of evolutionary common ancestry,
mm-hmm.
or do they have some common function associated with that? For common function, I can take a list of those interacting genes and query the ontology database and show me all the functions associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So that's another visualization. That's adding, querying the biology again and again, and showing the patterns.
And so the visualization tool for that now is just like ones that are closer in distance are more likely to be have the same function or be interacting with each other.
I don't know.
Okay.
That's what we think. So you can take this interaction viewer, for example. These genes are not necessarily all of them have the common ancestry,
mm-hmm.
but they're just saying that these are all the genes ever present in that cell.
Mm-hmm.
These are the molecules that are likely to interact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But can you paint these genes with the different kinds of functions that they have,
mm-hmm.
and can you cluster them based on some functions? Right?
Yeah.
So that's another visualization that you can see. Very complicated.
Yes.
But there are tools that Justin Elser has developed along with another. We had another high school REU.
Is there a location where you could look more at these tools or the slides?
Yes. So, Justin, I'll put you in touch with Justin. Eugene, if you can share their email addresses with us, then Justin Elser can put you on the mailing list as well as and he would be in direct contact.
Right. So I'll do that right now.
So yeah, and then we can be in touch so that he can share all the links and tools and get you a little bit more about the documentation and how these things are happening.
Okay.
And I will share my presentation with you guys on that.
Thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. So you see that everything is now fragmented, lying around in several places.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stitch these things together.
Yeah.
And there are certain new So it's possible that Amiga 2.0 interface that you were seeing, mm-hmm. it can become like plug-in widgets and start seeing the same kind of thing. It doesn't have to exist in exactly the same way.
Okay.
Right? So, yeah, and we should start small, I would say. Start with Arabidopsis, where we have most of the data.
Mm-hmm.
Arabidopsis and rice. These are the two most annotated species.
Okay.
We have the most data associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
And we can build on top of that.
Okay.
So,
and Pankaj, we have a lot for maize as well.
1,000 genes from Arabidopsis and 45,000 from rice.
Okay.
But you should start small. You can just pick and choose one set of family of genes.
Mm-hmm.
And build on. Even smaller.
Right.
Yeah. Good.
Okay.
For you, is it interesting? I don't know. For Bo, I think we need to discuss something different, right? I don't know how much time we have.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes. Right. But we can continue discussing for you what he was trying to do something different. He's trying to build on. If I give you all these genes, right, what he was trying to, or for example, you get, right, keep on showing that screen.
Oh, okay.
Get off. So on that screen, there are genes that are may or may not be of the same ancestry, right? But they may have different functions. And there is something which is connecting them together, right? So he may be interested, or I may be interested in looking at function of each of these. There, for example, pull me back. I can pull the list of all these genes, and I want to see what is the statistical, how statistically enriched, what kind of functions are enriched in these set of genes, right? Then I can make some story about it. But how these are interacting. Why these are interacting with each other? So there must be some common function. Can I find that function based on some statistical analysis to see what shows up or pops up, or what is an enrichment that I would see in these sets, for example? Okay. Is there a way I can download the list of these genes?
I don't remember.
Anyhow.
Well, wait, if you go back to this, if you go back to the non-graphical view, you have them all right here.
Right. So can you pull out a graphical thing?
Can you pull it out of the graphical thing?
Pull out the list of those sheets.
Oh. Yeah.
Download as TSV, and then you should be able to get it. TSV.
Oh, okay. I was doing a CIF, but okay.
Pull out all the AT numbers of those sheets.
Hold on.
I'm trying to get it to you. I need to do something else. So all of these genes are annotated to some ontology term, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to find out what is enriched in this set. That is your project.
Yes.
Oh.
Or maybe I should. Did you get it?
I guess so. Wait, where is my, since my screen sharing is paused.
Oh, you can unshare it. There's something at the bottom.
Oh, okay. I think it's because I instead of sharing the whole thing, I only shared the.
No,
part.
Just pull out the 18 numbers of those from that list.
Is that all you want? Is the 18 numbers?
Yes. You can open it in Excel.
Excel?
Go browse.
Sorry, I don't use Windows anymore, man. Never know where this stuff is anymore.
No, you're not even getting it. do one thing. You copy the SIF the content of the SIF file.
Uh huh.
You see somewhere in Excel?
Because Amber can
then you have to.
So
yeah, there is.
Oh, there it is.